We're in this series, What Would Jesus Undo? But today, it's just a little different perspective. I want to speak to someone today that you're fighting. You're fighting something. You're going through something, that you're battling failures of what has been, what could have been, what you should have done and what you didn't do or did do and shouldn't have done, that you're facing situations and you feel stuck moving forward because it's like your past or yourself is like an anchor, can't move forward. Talking to some people today that you believe the lie that you've been too bad or you've been too hurt, you've been too messed up, and that this is it, that you just need to settle, that there's a lack of confidence in some of your lives, that I can't serve God, I can't be that good, I can't be that righteous, I don't have that kind of strength or ability. And so you've stayed at where you're at because you're afraid to move forward. That you look at yourself in the mirror and you wish that you saw somebody different. You look at yourself in the mirror and you wish you were a better person. You wish you were a stronger person. You wish you had more of what you so desperately needed. And I'm talking to you today that God has a message for you, and he is about ready to do something amazing in your life today. If you'll allow him, and you just allow him to speak to where you're at. And just for a moment, just let down that guard. Just let down that preconceived mask of trying to be good, but you know you're not good. Of trying to be holy, and you know you're not holy. Of trying to go through the motions, just let it drop. Let God have just access to your heart, because he wants to speak to you. He has got something so incredible for you, and it has nothing to do with anything you bring to the table. Can we just lift our hands this morning and ask God to speak? Lord, over these next few minutes, would you just speak to our hearts? God, you know every situation, you know every fear, you know every pain, you know everything that was thought in these last few moments. God, you know what brought us here today, you know what we're up against. And so God, we're trusting through the power of your word that you're going to say some things and speak into our heart. We're going to leave here different, not by our power, but by your power. We're praying in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're seated, turn to somebody and tell them it's time to get back up. That'll make sense. Don't just stand back up again. It's like, no, you can be seated, but it's kind of fun. I didn't realize that that's what that sounded like. You can be seated, but it's time to get back up. No, that's not what I'm talking about. All right. You can be seated. That's all right. Hey, one of the stories that is in the scripture that is probably more a part of our culture than just about any other. I mean, aside from Jesus' birth, which we celebrate at Christmas, and the crucifixion and resurrection, which we celebrate Easter, the story that probably resonates most with our culture is the story of David and Goliath. We hear this referenced all the time. If you watch ESPN, I mean, you've heard it, right? It's like, well, it's a David and Goliath story. It's a little team against the big team. It's an underdog against the powerhouse. And again, we hear it in sports, and they use it to commentate on any time that somebody weaker or more insignificant is facing somebody with apparent more power or more ability. We see it in the business world, where it's the little company going up against the big company, and books have been written on it, and you know, all kinds of things have been using this story to illustrate any time that the little guy versus the big guy. We hear it again and again. Any time that we are faced with a challenge, maybe this resonates with us, that we're going up against something, and it's a popular story that has been used in our culture. In fact, I was at a business meeting one time and was using this example, and I referenced the scripture where this story takes place, and somebody came up afterwards and they go, I didn't even realize that was a Bible story. I thought that was a business story that somebody made up, you know, to do illustrations. And it didn't. It's become so much of our culture that it's even become separated from its origin. But as popular as it is, whether it's in sports or business or everyday life, we can't forget really what the purpose was to begin with. It wasn't to give us a good business story. It wasn't to give us an analogy for a sporting event. It wasn't just to give us a story of when we're facing trials that we can use an example. That this story was a true life and death event. That this was a battle. That this was a true fight, that the armies of Israel had come down and were on one side of the hill, and the armies of the Philistines had come down and they were on the other side of the hill, and they're just eyeing each other. They're looking at each other. They're seeing each other, and there's the tension there that we know we're going to fight. We know there's going to be a battle. We know that some people are going to die. Some people are going to get hurt. There's going to be a winner. There's going to be a loser. This was not an easy situation. And from out of the Philistine side comes this giant. And he steps out in front and he begins to yell and he begins to insult and he begins to try to humiliate the other side. And if you read the verses, the essence of Goliath's message is simply this. He's saying, look, your invisible God is no match to what you see in front of you. And day after day, he hurls these insults. Look at your problem. Look at the enemy. Look how powerful we are. Look how big we are. Look how strong we are. Look how mighty we are. Look at yourself. You know you're afraid. You know you're weak. You know you've got issues. And day after day, the Bible says for 40 days, Goliath comes out. Continues just to give that message. Your invisible God is no match for what you're looking at right now. Look at my strength. Look at your weakness. And where is your God? Where is your God? Look how strong I am. You know you're fearful. Where is your God? And his message started to resonate day after day after day till finally the Israelites believed him. They bought into it. You see how big that guy is? He's huge. You see how powerful he is? He's huge. And we're afraid. We're afraid. And they got to a point where if we read in Scripture, it's like they were frozen. We can't move forward. We can't fight. We can't move. Because you know what? He's right. Where is our God? Where is our God? And it just seems like we're nothing compared to what we're facing. I'm talking today with someone. You've got a Goliath in your life. And it may not be a physical giant that's coming down and yelling at you every morning. We don't have that kind of thing. But the message of the giant is still the same. Your invisible God is no match to what you're going through. Look at your problem. Look at what you're facing. Look at what you're going through. Look at what you're battling with. Look how big that is. Look how much how awesome that is. Look at how impossible it seems that that's ever going to work out. And then look at yourself. I mean, come on. Look at yourself for real. You know your weaknesses. You know your inabilities. You come on Sunday and you play a good game and you look all nice and try to be all holy, but you know who you are. You know your past. You know all the mistakes you've made. You know all the good intentions that never worked out. And in the midst of it all, where is God in all of that? And your giant just keeps yelling and yelling and yelling and yelling. Look at your family. Look at what you're going through. There's no hope in that. Look at your job situation. You know it's hopeless. Look at that situation. It's stealing your joy. It's causing you to be upset all the time. Look at how impossible that. You know there's no solution to that. You know there's no way around that. You know there's no answer to that. And then who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You think you're so good. You think you're so holy. You think you're so mighty. You think all of this is just, you know, what you've got. You know you. You know you, and here's the thing, we begin to believe it. Yeah, where is God when I need him? You know, I know that I can't do this. I know that I've made a lot of mistakes. I know that I don't have what it takes. And we begin to believe the lie. That our seemingly invisible God is no match to what we're facing. And just like this army, we get stuck. We can't move forward. We can't do what God is asking us to do or take that next step because either the problem is too big or I'm not good enough. And so I'm just here. Now, on the opposite side of the story, David emerges and he gives us a different perspective. And David's message is radically different. David steps up and he says this. He says he dares the armies of the living God to fight him. Just who does he think he is? Who does this guy think he is? I mean, come on, do you know who he is up against? And David understands this important principle of who God truly is. We talk about David and you say he's a worshiper. David is a worshiper, and there is something powerful when we begin to worship God. Worship God begins to lift up God and begins to remind us of how powerful God is. We sing songs like, "How Great Is Our God?" And we start singing that, and all of a sudden we wonder, you know what, God is really great. Talk about how wonderful or how awesome, amazing grace, and all of these other songs that remind us of how great and powerful God is. And David's life was summarized by that, and he walked up and he saw this giant, and he says, do you realize who the fight is against? Do you realize who God is? He's so much bigger. He's so much greater. And David, here's the thing, had complete confidence in God, but not in himself. David had complete confidence in God, but not in himself. Saul tries to give him some weapons. He says, I can't use these. Saul tries to give him some armor, and he says, I can't use these. My skills are limited. I know God is able, but I am aware of my limits. And that is where I find myself, and maybe you do too, so often. Complete confidence in God. I know who God is. I know God is great. I know God is greater. But I've got issues. I should have known better. I should have tried harder. I know God is able, but it's me that's the problem. I'm the one holding God back. I know God is strong, but I struggle with weakness. I know God's able, but I'm painfully aware of my limits. I know God can overcome, but you see, I'm trapped where I'm at, and we get to a place where, again, complete confidence in God. And we can come and we can talk about how great God is and how good God is, but then we realize and we begin to believe this idea that we are the one that limits God. And so we have to start asking ourselves, okay, you know what? I got to get my life in order. I got to try harder. I got to do better. Let me just ask you this. If you've ever had a really bad week, of course, none of you have ever had a bad week, but just hypothetically, where you just blew it like day after day after day, and you look back and you go, that was a bad week, okay? Okay, there was a lot of things I shouldn't have done that I did, and there was a lot of things I should do that I didn't. It was a bad week. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have ever had at least one bad week in their life, right? Okay, and then we come into a church service, and isn't it just so easy to worship God and to sing and to just have that freedom to talk to God after a bad week? No. Just being honest, right? You're like, oh, do I need to dodge lightning here, you know, because this has been a bad week, okay? The other thing is anybody ever have a good week? I mean, you didn't say anything mean to anybody, you know, you smiled at everybody. Maybe you just didn't see anybody that whole week, and so it was just really easy. Just like, I'm just away from everybody. I can be really good. And then we come in together, and it's time to where it's just like, man, me and God are good because I've been good. Man, I feel really good because I can pray, and it sounds like I feel like God's listening to me because I've really been trying hard. And we begin to believe that we are the determining factor in what God can do or can't do in our life. That when I'm good, I just feel like, man, everything, me and God. And when I'm not, it's like, oh, wait a second, I have to do something first to get God to be in God's good graces. And see, we believe that, and we act that way. And we find ourselves asking this question, how do I move forward when I know that it's me holding me back? How do I go forward when I know that there is more for my life, that God has more for me, when there's things that I want to accomplish, that I know that God is leading me and drawing me? But how do I move forward when I know it's me holding me back? And it doesn't matter where you're at in the process. It could be right at the beginning where you can say, you know what, I want God to forgive me, but I got to get my life a little cleaned up first before I ask God to forgive me. You know, I want what God has for me, but, you know, there's still some rough edges there that I got to get cleaned up, you know, and then before I come to God, I got to get my life in order before I come to God. Or it can be after you've known him for years and years and years, and you say, I know God is calling me on to this next step or new opportunity, but you know what? I'm just not there yet. There's some things in my life where I've got to get in order. How do we move forward when it's me that's holding me back? And what David does next in this story gives us hope. This is so profound. And again, we think we know this story, but when we stop and take a look, I want to show you something so incredible, because this just goes back to this statement. David has complete confidence in God, but not in himself. And that may be where you're at. But look at what David does. Verse 40. Then David took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones. Everybody say five smooth stones. Okay? We know this story, right? Five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistines. So just hold right there. Now, there's a couple things we know, right? The slingshots of those days were not like the rubber band ones we have now. You know, it's like the wrist rocket things. It was a leather pouch, a little flat thing, two strings on it, and they would put the rock in there, whip it around, let it fly. Okay, a lot of velocity. Flinging this thing, let it fly. Okay. Goes down to the stream because that's where the rocks are, and he picked up five smooth stones because smooth stones fly straighter than rough stones, right? Just all dynamics, okay? These are things we know. But if you've ever stopped and wondered, why five? Why five? Why did he need five stones? Why five? Now, growing up in church, I've heard some weird explanations of this. And I remember one that said, and they taught it, and they probably meant it, but they said, you know, Goliath had four brothers. And David went and he picked up five stones, one for Goliath and one for each of his brothers. That sounds really good. Only problem is David did not have Google at that time, and he could not look up Goliath and find out that he had five brothers. And scripture doesn't say anything about his brothers being there, okay? So as cool as that sounds, that's a stretch, okay? Another one that maybe you've heard, and again, it preaches really good, but it gets crazy when you try to explain it, is he picked up five stones. You know why? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. You can do it all in the name of Jesus. And he picked up those five stones. I don't know, maybe you've heard that or not. I remember hearing that. Here's the problem. In Hebrew, Jesus is spelled with four letters. And David doesn't speak English. And as good as that sounds, that's just weird to try to explain that. And I heard another one that they said that the stones represented, here it is, right? And I wrote it down, faith, obedience, service, prayer, and the Holy Ghost. And he says, I'm going to take all those, I'm taking them in the bag, and man, it preaches. But then you start asking, well, which rock did he use then? Which one was it that, again, all well-meaning, but honestly, they're manufactured to try to come up with something that we don't read in Scripture. And what I found is often the simplest answer is usually the right answer, and in most cases, the most powerful one, because the Bible doesn't state a special reason. So instead of trying to invent a special reason, let's just look at the natural reason that if you would put yourself in David's position, why would you pick up more than one rock to go fight an enemy? David picked up more than one rock because he knew, I might miss. I've been known to miss. I don't know anything about Goliath's brothers. I don't know how to spell Jesus in English. I don't know anything that really is going on in the next few moments, but I do know this, that I've thrown a lot of rocks and I've missed a lot of targets. That my ability is limited. I know my aim isn't always on. But here's the thing. My faith in God supersedes my inabilities. I may throw and miss, but I'm just going to stand out there and just keep throwing because I know it's not me fighting this fight, that it is God. It's His power. It's His authority. And if I get out there and I miss, I'm just reaching in the bag and I'm pulling out another one and I'm sending it on because I know that my inabilities, that my weaknesses do not matter when it comes to God fighting my battles. I will not allow my inabilities to stop what God is trying to do in me and through me. Here's the thing, if David would have been a crack shot, if he would have been like dead eye, you know, I can't miss, then this wouldn't have been a God thing. This would have been isn't David talented? Man, look at that. He just nailed him on the first shot. He is like the world's best slingshotter. And that's not the case. In fact, if you read the story of David, David has other battles. He fights a lion. He fights a bear. And it doesn't say anything about him using the slingshot. Now, you know what I think happened? He was throwing rocks and missed. Because again, let's not try to manufacture anything, but let's just be saying here, if you see a lion, right, and you have a rifle or a knife, and the lion is mean and it's hungry and it's coming at you, which one are you going to use first? It's not your question. It's not your question, right? He's like, I want to keep you as far away from me as possible. I will try to shoot you. The knife is a last resort. The Bible says that David wrestled a lion and wrestled a bear. Think about that. Got a slingshot. What probably happened? It didn't work. I missed. I didn't throw hard enough. It bounced off. I just made him madder. I don't know what happened. But David is now in hand-to-hand combat. And so he is out there going, look, I've been known to miss. I've seen it where this doesn't work, but I know this. When God is for me, it doesn't matter who is against me, and it doesn't matter what I bring. That if I am willing to just simply be obedient to what God is asking me to do, all of my weaknesses, all of my inabilities, all of those things that I think limit God aren't a factor. And so David steps up, and he says, if I need one more, if I need a few, I've got a few. And I think David, in his heart, says, you know, if it comes down to a wrestling match, bring it on. Because it's God fighting it, not me. I love a faith that goes beyond the cute little cliches. It gives me strength. It gives me strength. Because, again, I would love to be able to preach messages where I just say, just pray a little prayer and it's all going to work out. You know what? Just ask God to heal and it's going to happen. Just ask God and bing, there you go. Here's the magic bean of prayers. Just say this and watch it work. But I know life isn't like that. Because we're like David, where we might have tried a lot of things and we missed a lot of targets. And we struggle with our limits. We struggle with our abilities. We struggle with where we're at. But God is trying to remind you today, God is greater. You just keep standing there and just keep throwing. Just keep trying. Just keep there, because it's not you fighting the battle, it's God. It doesn't matter if you think you're going to miss. It doesn't matter. You just get out there and be obedient to what God is asking you to do. Every reason, everything that thinks you stands in the way of what God is trying to do, you just bring it all with you and you just keep throwing. You know, I prayed for God to answer and it didn't happen, but I'm going to pray again. Trying to reach my family and they laughed at me, but I'm going to try again. I'm going through this situation and I asked God to move or answer and it didn't work, but I'm still there saying, God, I need your help. I'm not giving up because it's not my battle. David recognized who was really doing the fighting. And that's what God is trying to say to somebody today, that some of us need to begin to speak to our giants and say, Goliath, you are bigger than me. You are more powerful than me, but it's not me that you're fighting. Sin, you're greater than me. I've got a history of you in my life. I've got all kinds of reasons of why you should defeat me and overcome me. But I'm telling you this, sin, what happened on Calvary has nothing to do with my weakness. You're fighting a risen Savior, not me. Those argue against saying, you know what? I'm not good enough for God to love. You need to realize that God doesn't say you don't have to earn it. It's not about you being good. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning when you were at your worst, God says, that's when I'm reaching. That's when I love you. That's when I'm making the difference. That's where I'm going to win the victory for you. I'm not asking you to try to justify it or think that you're strong enough. I'm just calling you just to stand up and allow me to work in you. Allow me to work through you. Some of you are wrestling with, I don't know that God can forgive me. I don't know that God can forgive me. You know what God is saying? Just ask me. Just ask me. I don't know that I'm good enough. I got to get my life. God's saying, wait a second, don't you realize it? Take your weakness with you into the fight. The battle is not about how good you are. Because let's be honest, we're all messed up. Turn to somebody and just tell them, just say, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but you are messed up. Oh, I just want you to get this. This is so. Here's the thing. Can we just be honest this morning? I mean, church is a good place to be honest. But how many would be like me and they say, you know what? After you became a Christian, you sinned. Anybody here? Look at all of the horrible people sitting around you. Look at that. And the rest of you that didn't raise your hands, we're going to talk about lying later, all right? So you check the box. Well, wait a second. I thought you were saved. I thought you had Christ in you. I thought that you were a Christian, and you're telling me you sinned? Wait a second. I think we're on to something here. God is saying, hey, I know you're not perfect. I know you've got issues. I know that there are some things that you're fearful about, but you need to realize who is actually fighting. It's not you. Your job is to just simply stand up there and say, okay, God, I might miss. I may shoot way wide. But if you're asking me to take the step, then I'm just going to get up there and I'm just going to throw rocks. I'm just going to keep throwing another one, throwing another one, throwing another one, throwing another one. I think him picking up more than one rock was a greater act of faith than him just picking up one. If he just picked up one, we go, oh man, what a great faith. It's like, no, I think he would be a little too confident in his ability. I love the fact that he's thinking, I may need more than one because I know me. And here I am. Can you imagine what that would have been like? You know, all the army is out there watching. Here's David, and he throws, and it's a swing and a miss. And Goliath is like, whoa, hey, what was that? And see, some of us are so fearful about missing that we stand back in the camp and we never see the victory that God is asking for us. We never find the forgiveness that God is trying to extend. We never find the ministry that God is leading and calling you into, because we think that we bring our issues to the game. Well, here's the truth. God's calling you with your issues. You need to step in the battle with your weaknesses. It doesn't offend God. We think God is looking for perfection. Mm-mm. If you could be perfect, you wouldn't need a God. Faith says, God, I'm coming to you, and I don't deserve this. God, I may fall again in the future, but I'm still here saying, I need a Savior. I need help. I need forgiveness. I need healing. I need direction. It's time to get back up. It's time to step out of the crowd. It's time to get to where you are facing that giant head on and allowing God to do the miraculous in your life. There's a verse, and again, I want to close with this. It's so, so powerful. And when we think about our humanity, we think about our weakness, so often we think that we have to be perfect. We all got to get it right. But I love this verse in Proverbs, so powerful. It says this, for though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. We associate falling with failure. We associate falling with inability. We associate falling with somebody that didn't get it right. We don't associate falling with righteousness. We look at righteousness as perfection. That's not the way that God views righteousness. God doesn't count righteousness as perfection. God counts righteousness with persistence. Though the righteous fall 7 times, how are they defined? They get back up. They get back up. Do you know what God is just asking of you this morning? Just get back up. Just get back up. I'm not expecting you to be perfect. Just get back up. I'm not expecting you to get it all right. Just get back up. I'm not expecting you to be that strong or that powerful. I'm just asking you to get back up. And allow me to do the miraculous in your life. Just get back up. Just come back to an altar. Just ask me to forgive. Just say, okay, God, I'm going to follow your lead, even though I don't know what I'm doing. There are every reason why I shouldn't have what you are giving me. But God, here I am again. Just get back up. Stop thinking that God is expecting perfection from you. Stop judging your life based upon your perfectness. We need to start judging our life based upon our persistence. We're hit by something, boom, devil tries to lie to us and say, you're not good enough. You just stay down. Stay down. You need to back out of that. You don't need to step up to that. You don't need to do that. Just pull back. Well, God is saying, wait a second. No. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up, because righteousness is defined by us just standing back up again, saying, I need a Savior. I need a God. I need a one that can overcome my weakness. It's not my battle, but as long as I'm here, if I get knocked down, I'm just going to get back up again, because that's all God is looking for. He knows when he called me, he knew I had issues. When he reached for me, he knew that I was broken. And I'm going not in my own power. That's why I don't need to fear the fight, because if it's up to me, I'm going to get destroyed. But it's not my power. It's God's power. It's God's ability. And when that enemy looks at you and said, how dare you start to think that way? Do you know how bad you were? Do you know how bad your past is? Do you know all the opportunities that God gave you that you just ignored or walked on past? Who are you to ask God to forgive? Who are you to think that God can use you? Who are you to think that you have an opportunity? Who are you to think God wants to save you? Look at your mess. Look at all that. You're laying back down. You've been knocked down again. We just need to reach back, and there's a verse that we need to all memorize and begin to quote. I love this, love this, love this. Look at this next verse. Rejoice not over me, my enemy. Sin, don't start celebrating just yet. Circumstance, you haven't got me defeated yet. Don't start celebrating yet. Problem, don't you dare start celebrating yet. I may be knocked down. When I fall, you may have knocked me down in the moment. You may have discouraged me in the moment. You may have just tripped me up in the moment. But here's the thing. I shall rise. There is a God that's saying, I'm not judging you on your perfectness. I'm judging you on your persistence. Just get back up. Just come to me again and ask for forgiveness. Just ask me to help. Just ask me to be there, and I will. It's not based upon your strength. It's based upon God's power, God's strength. And we need to begin to take this verse to heart and say, you know what? You tripped me up here, but I'm not staying down. God, would you cleanse my heart? God, would you remind me again that you're my Lord and my Savior. And we come back to an altar. Do you know there is no limit to God's love? God does not have some kind of checkbox. It's like, well, you asked me to forgive you 7 times this week. I'm sorry, you hit your limit. You're going to have to wait. There's no merit system with God. God just says, well, if you want me to forgive these 10 things, then I need at least 2 good deeds out of you first. So let's talk. But yet so many of us are thinking God acts like us. I'm glad God doesn't act like me. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm glad God doesn't act like you. I'm so glad that God doesn't act like you. We talk about unconditional love. And so often we are so fixated on the second word. Talk about God's love, God's love, God's love. And we miss the importance of the first word, unconditional, which means this. There's nothing you could do to deserve it, and there's nothing you could do to escape it. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Just ask. Just ask. It's yours. Everything. It's yours. Why don't we take advantage of that? How often we think we believe the lie that we have to earn it, perform to it. And that's why when we face something, we begin to get discouraged because we think we're part of the solution. And God just says, I just need somebody who's willing to get back up and throw rocks. But I might miss. Yeah, okay. Just keep throwing. Yeah, but I might look silly. Okay, just keep throwing. But I might get knocked down. Okay, just get back up. I mean, I don't have to be perfect. And that's not even an option. You know what this does? And I'm not trying to lessen the power of a saved life. Understand that as we walk in God, God gives us strength and we become more and more consistent in our walk. What I'm trying to do is this, for those of you that have fallen, for those of you that are facing something, for those of you that the devil comes back and tries to beat you up with your past, I'm trying to give you hope and saying, wait a second, God views it very differently. It's his power, not yours. He's trying to hold you back. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to steal the victory away from what God has for your life. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Some of you are knocked down. Some of you, you had a bad week, bad month, bad year, whatever it is. And you're coming in here saying, I want this so bad, but I don't know that I deserve this. God is saying, it's yours. It's yours. Some of you are saying, I've failed too many times. God's mad at me or disappointed in me. It's not the way that God works. He's just saying, get back up. Get back up. Get back up. There's a verse in Psalms that just summarizes it all up, and I love this verse. It says, the Lord upholds all who fall. It isn't, oh, you fell, I'm letting go. Oh, you made a mistake, I'm backing off. Oh, you should have known better, I'm letting go. You need to realize that there's a God that loves you so much that says, even though I'm asking you to just get back up, I'll even help you do that. You turn to me and say, God, I blew it. I blew it. It's like, yeah, I know. But I'm going to stand back up. And it's like, okay, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. I don't know what God has for you. But I know it's more than what you have right now. Some of you have just been stuck because you're afraid to take the next step, whatever that is. Because you look at your life and you say, you know, I've either been too bad or I've not done it right, or I don't know that I can maintain it, or I don't know that I can be that good, or whatever it is. And realize that's your giant lying to you. But God is saying, I've got something so great. I've got something so powerful. I've got a victory so good. Trust me. Trust me. Don't let your weaknesses become a factor. Don't let your weakness become a hindrance, but just simply come into my presence and say, okay, God, I don't deserve it, but I need it. God, I can't fight this, but you can. God, this is bigger than me, but not bigger than you. I will not let my weakness limit the greatness of God. It's time to get back up. It's time to get back up. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. Game's not over. When I fall, I shall arise. And when we get back up, God says, there's righteousness. There's righteousness. It's not walking without falling. It's getting back up when we do. Gives me hope. Gives you hope. God wants to do something. Whatever it is. Maybe you've never asked God to forgive you. You don't think you're good enough. You don't think you earn it. God wants to forgive you this morning. You know all it takes is, God, here it is. Here's all my mess. Here's my brokenness. Here's all the mistakes. I should have, could have. And there's no reason, God. I have no reason. Just my stupidity. It's all the things that I've done. I should have known better. But God, if you're willing, would you forgive me? And you know what God says every single time? Yeah. Yeah. Forgiven. Clean. Saying, God, I need you in my life. I need something more than just going through the motions. I need you in my life. God, would you live in my heart? I know I'm a bad representation. I know I got issues and faults, and there's things that God, just scare me. But would you live in me? You know what God says? Yeah. Yeah. God, I want to trust you. God, I don't deserve to have your name, but God, I need to be baptized in your name. It's my decision, God. But I know that I got issues, but would you? Absolutely. What does God have for you that we've been holding back from? Some of you, it's been too long because you've made yourself more powerful. Your weakness is more powerful than God. But God wants to remind you, let it go. Come to me. Watch what I can do. Can we stand?